Humanitarian aid groups are waiting for a chance to help Iraq's population. Though U.S. troops have arrived at the outskirts of Baghdad, nearly the entire country remains too dangerous for workers who want to provide food, health care, and other services. NPR Steve Inskeep reports from Kuwait City.
After the military buildup, humanitarian groups are staging their own buildup here. They're renting apartments where they sleep and work. They're preparing to bring in doctors, nurses, and engineers. But mostly they're waiting in Kuwait City. Only a tiny toenail of Iraq is safe enough to work in, the port of Umm Qasr and some surrounding areas where the Red Crescent and Kuwaiti groups have brought food and water. The rest of the country remains too unsettled, even by the standards of aid workers who thrive in unsafe conditions. Just last year, Nigel Ponce was living in a rented house in Afghanistan, but he says the time isn't right for his group to move into Iraq. He's the program coordinator for Mercy Corps, which wants to improve water systems and help displaced people.
We, as humanitarians, are very soft targets compared to military targets. And until we have a much better understanding of how the population at large will perceive us as humanitarians, we're not prepared to step out into the great blue yonder.
Western groups here are worried about how they'll be perceived in Iraq. NGOs, non-governmental organizations, are worried they'll be seen as part of a U.S.-led occupation. They're careful not to publicize any meetings they have with the U.S. military. Relatively few Western aid groups have worked in southern Iraq in recent years. They don't have many contacts, and they don't have much reliable information about how the war has affected civilians. Nicole Amoroso of the aid group Save the Children says she does know that Iraqi kids were in trouble even before the shooting started.
And war is only going to make their situation that much worse. The statistics are absolutely alarming. You've got instances where one out of every four children is chronically malnourished. You've got infant mortality rates which have doubled over the last 10 years. One out of every 30 children doesn't even make it to their fifth birthday. You've got babies being delivered in absence of trained professionals.
Among other services, Save the Children is hoping to bring doctors and nurses to Basra, though for the moment, British forces are still battling to control the city. The World Food Program is also waiting. Members of that United Nations organization watched on television in recent days as soldiers handed food off the backs of trucks in southern Iraq. The aid workers weren't impressed. In some places, mobs of young people appeared to snatch up the food and sell it. Program spokeswoman Antonia Paradella says aid workers are waiting for a chance to set up a better system.
To do assessments on the ground, to talk to local communities, to go to people's houses and see how much food they have at home, to see market prices, in a way to be able to work with communities to try to reach first the people who need the food most.
The WFP and other organizations believe that people aren't desperate yet. Iraq's government issued extra food before the war, and it's estimated that many households have enough food to last until the start of May. By then, aid workers are hoping to restart the food rationing system that fed Iraqis before the war. And the U.S. government is already sending shiploads of grain toward Iraq in hopes that humanitarian aid workers will have some place to distribute that food when it arrives. But aid workers here are talking about what could still go wrong. They don't know yet what happens if Baghdad falls under siege, or what happens if fighting continues in the south. Humanitarian problems multiply if a short war grows longer. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Kuwait City.